We're holding in Beis Adar, Siman Samech Vav Alach Yud Aleph, and we're going to Siman Samech Zayin Alach Hey. So now that the Eidam, I think, understands better Iska and a Heter Iska, the Kitzur gives another example where Reuven borrowed money from Shimon. So Reuven lets the old Shimon $1,000. Time arrives to pay, he doesn't have the money. So there's an actual Eitzah, meaning you can't use a Heter Iska to extend the loan. Shimon can say to Reuven, okay, don't worry, listen, give me the money, $1,000 you owe me in a month from now, and I'll charge you interest. That would be Nisadarais and Ribbis. So what does he do? He does similar to what we learned yesterday. He says like this, Reuven, let's say, has merchandise, he has watches. So he says, so what happens is Reuven sells Shimon, the, let's say, three watches for $1,000. But part of the deal is that Shimon is selling those watches for $1,000, now that's what Shimon, Reuven owes Shimon $1,000. So what happens is that they do a kinyan right away, like we said. So really, technically speaking, it's owned by Shimon. And Reuven's supposed to deliver the merchandise in a month from now. If he doesn't deliver the merchandise, then he's going to sell to him for, he's going to give him more money for the merchandise. He's going to buy it back from him for $1,100. So 100%, it's a real deal. He bought it, it's his. There's a condition now. He has to give it back, as the Kitzur says, he has to, Shimon has to give Reuven the original promissory note. And because he can't hold on to that note anymore that he owes him any money. And what happens is that Reuven is going to give him a shtar, is going to give him a document on this merchandise to show that it's valid that this actual merchandise is owned by Shimon. And then he's going to buy it back from him, like we said. That for that amount, and that's not so poshut, even for this, the really Sfaradish Kitzur Shulchan Aruch that they quote from Mordechai Eliyahu, person says you should do a She'elas Chacham, so you should be careful when we do these deals. But essentially, this is the same concept we learned until now, where instead of making it into a loan, you're making it into a business deal. Similarly, the next case that the Kitzur finishes off, the Halachas of Iska, is when a person gives his friend an animal to develop, and what they're going to do is they're going to split the profit. So here, the laws follow the same thing that we learned until now when it comes to a person, let's say, who's giving money as an investment. So we look at it as what's called palgamiva palpikada, meaning half a loan and half a deposit. And the same laws apply, like we learned, that the investor is going to have to pay the manager, the person that's managing this animal, because really he's managing, half of it he's managing for himself, that's the loan part, and half of it he's managing the deposit part for his friend. So we said that he has to pay him for the services. And this way, since he's paying for the services, so therefore it doesn't look like ribbis. We're starting Siman Samech Zayin, the laws of Nadom and Shavuos, which basically speak about vows and oaths. One of the most basic distinctions between a neder is that the Gemara says in the beginning of Nadom and Shavuos is that it's considered a davar chefetz. I mean, I could take an object and I can give it the status of a kedusha simply through my words, which is an incredible concept and power that a Jew has. When it comes to Shavuot and the Gavra, so the Nafkamina is, the practical application is, something that's physical only can only become holy, so to speak, Kaddish, through a Neder. When it comes to Shavuot, that's on the Gavra, that's on the person. I could swear that I'm going to learn. I could swear that I'm not going to sleep, but I can't make sleep into a substance, since it's not a substance. It can't be a substance of Kedusha. Either way, Moshe has a tshuva that he wrote to his son, already telling him to avoid, even when it comes to, as we're going to learn, things of mitzvahs and kedusha. So although in the past maybe that was something that was more encouraged, today it's much more discouraged, because it's very difficult. So a person should try to his avodas Hashem, regardless of what it's referring to be done without nedarim and shavuos. And as we're going to start learning the halachas, the kitzur starts off, don't be too used to saying nedarim. And the reason for that is because you're creating something more than what Hashem, so to speak, gave us the formula of success. And that's what the Gemara compares it to, building a bama, which means like an altar at the time where it's not permitted to have altars. Someone even fulfills an edel is also not so great. It's considered like he shechted, he brought animals outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because really he should have been shechted his neder, should have undone his neder by chacham, etc. Mamash, everyone that's learning now nezirus, very geshmak. And the Kitzur himself says that's all regular nedarim. Nigde hegdesh, and like a mitzvah, we sing nedarai la Hashem masha, then we sing it in Hallel. It's part of Tehillim. The David Melch says it's a good thing. David Melch used it. In fact, David Melch said nishbati v'kayem. And nevertheless, like I said, it's something that today best to avoid, especially when it comes to Shavuah. That although I just quoted a pasuk Nevertheless, a person should try to avoid shvuas. And if a person taka sworn something, he should not be shalom in the shvuah unless it's mamish ashas atchag godol. Because even if a person is a little bit pained, this psukim that the kids are quoted, that a person should not be shalom in the shvuah. A person should be careful not to make an edah. Even for tzedakah, it's best not to make an edah. And always you should accustom yourself to saying bli nedah. So if people in shul are saying, you know, I'm going to give this in the mouth, you should still say bli nedah. Even when it comes to what's called maskir neshamos on Yom Kippur, where you have yizkor, people are saying, I'm going to give a certain amount of tzedakah, it should be said bli nedah. If a person is an eighth tzara, a person's allowed to make an edah. So generally speaking, you should avoid nedahim. Person's in a difficult situation and he says and he uses an edah according to the kitzur, it's not a problem. If a person decides I want to learn a certain amount of Torah, I want to learn the daf, etc., and he's worried that he's going to get lazy, so then he's allowed to use what's called nedarim and shvuos, as Chazal say, which I quoted before, nishvati v'kevim, right, to encourage yourself to do mitzvahs. And even if he didn't say we're using a lashon nedar shvuah, he just said, you know, I'm going to start learning the daf. You have to be very careful. One of the gedolim, chashavat gedolim of today, I remember his wife said, you know, I think it was during COVID, his son told me that she said, I'm going to start saying to him maybe every day or something like that. Right away he said, mufalach, 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 which means the annulment of a husband, husband has the power to annul the nedarim of a wife, because the wife doesn't even realize sometimes she's going to say something or a person's going to say something and he's going to tell him to do something and therefore it's considered a nedar. So it's good to get used to saying, I will do something bli neder, so a person avoids any problems. Even though also we do atos nedarim, that's a major machlokes if it applies to the future or not. Machlokes rishonim. And lastly, someone that makes a neder in order to fix his midos, which is the most important part of our avoda, is a reza meshubach. And he gives example: someone that eats too much wine, drinks too much wine, or eats too much meat. So then it's a person. It's actually a positive thing. Where a person is always hoary about his beauty. He accepts upon himself the zilus, mamash, what we're discussing now. Now, of course, today it's very complicated to accept upon the zilus, and even though there was a Rabbi Stefanski interviewed a guy that was nazir today, and he said that many would have been nazarim, honestly, would be nazarim. The ma'aseh person should be very careful before he accepts upon himself such a commitment, and definitely should ask a shayla by his rav. Have a beautiful day.